Well, good evening, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this evening. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered in. We welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will be with us as we're in his house again tonight. Those that are visiting as well, we give you a very special welcome indeed, and we pray that the Lord will bless you as you're with us even this evening. It's lovely to see Jean again over from America and her mother with her as well, and we do welcome, as I said, each one that's visiting, and pray that the Lord will be near even unto us tonight. I do remember immediately afterwards tonight I'll be shooting off. Unfortunately, I won't be able to shake hands at the door. I need to get up to Ackley and value your prayers even there as we go to take that youth rally there at 9:15. The children's meeting then is tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And we do, as always, encourage you to remember that work in your prayers, that the Lord will bless it and bless the children at this time, even of practice, as they prepare for Parents' Evening. We meet on Wednesday evening for Bible study and for prayer once again. And we do invite and encourage each one to come aside in the Wednesday evenings and to study God's Word with us as we make our way through the book of 2 Peter. As we mentioned last Wednesday evening, a lot of the commentators see 2 Peter chapter 2 as being the most terrible chapter in all of Scripture. And don't let that put you off from coming. Come along and study it with us and see what the Lord would have to teach us and to warn us off even through his precious word. So do make that effort on Wednesday evenings to come aside for that study and prayer. Thursday evenings, the first ladies' fellowship meeting of the year. And we do remind the ladies of that. And we invite and encourage all of the ladies, young and old, aside and to be with us or to be gathered together on the Thursday evening. This particular Thursday night will be our sister Rhonda Kirschgadden as she comes to tell and give her perspective on being a missionary and heading to the land of Uganda as both a wife and indeed a mother as she goes to that land with her husband and her family. So do remember, ladies, to come aside and to have that time of fellowship on Thursday evenings. Friday night's at special meeting in Carrickfergus. The Reverend John Woods will be installed as a new minister there. And we do remind you to remember that meeting in your prayers, that the Lord will bless our brother and his family as they take up that work in Carrickfergus. One final announcement we make on behalf of our Government Morals Committee. There is a protest this Saturday morning. We mentioned to you again outside of the City Hall in Belfast at 11 a.m. The moderator will be speaking, and it is open to all to go and to take that stand for the Lord and to show your opposition, your continual opposition against the laws that have been brought in against us and against even the unborn child, that the Lord would even move in mighty power and even strike down these laws and turn our land once again unto him. Do remember that protest. And we do encourage you, if you can go along and to take that stand, then please do go and be part of it on Saturday morning. The service is next Sunday, Sabbath school in the morning, 10:30. And then the regular times of worship, 11:30, 7 p.m., seasons of prayer before both meetings in the upper room. And God willing, I'll be here to conduct those meetings. There are still a number of the Vision magazines in the front porch. And if you haven't yet got your copy, please do take it as you leave this evening. They are free of charge. They're there for every family. Brings you up to date with the works across our land and across the world that are involved with the Free Presbyterian Church. And of course, there's also articles and devotionals in them, both for young, for children, for young people, and for older alike. And as I said, there's one for every family, completely free. Please take them with you as you go. Gospel missions that started today, both in Park and Oar Manor House with our brethren Colin Maxwell and Noah Shields for the next 2 weeks, and also there in Newton Abbey with the Reverend David Stewart. We certainly commend those missions to you for your prayers that the Lord will bless them, the Lord will move. And even if you can get along to Park and Oar, go over and support our brethren as they minister there night by night. We're going to turn in our hymn books now, the hymn 195. 195, the page is 255. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. 195 will stand after we receive the introduction, please.
Come,
Let's unite together in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing and the Lord's presence with us this evening. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. We come into Thy presence this evening with praise and with thanksgiving in our hearts, rejoicing in our Savior, the One who loved us and who gave Himself for us. We're so thankful for the grace of God. We acknowledge this night that we're saved by grace through faith. Not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. We acknowledge the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And we thank Thee, O God, this night for that grace. That saving grace that has called us and brought us onto Thyself. That saving grace that has transformed us. That brought us from death unto life, that though we were blinded by sin, yet our eyes have been opened. And Father, we thank Thee for that. We thank Thee for the grace that keeps us. Oh God, we rejoice this night. We don't keep ourselves in salvation. The Lord keeps us. It is the Lord that holds our hand. It is the Lord that ensures that we persevere right to the end for Him, for His eternal glory, that we might be with Him. Oh, Father, what a Savior we have. What salvation there is to be found in Jesus Christ. What a gospel there is to proclaim. That though we went and offended, we went against God and we offended a holy God, yet God in His mercy, He sent forth His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Father, we thank Thee this night. We praise Thee for salvation. We think of the hymn that we've just been singing, O God, and truly we have much to raise our Ebenezers for. We have much to give Thee thanks for. We have much to praise Thee for. And Father, even in this day, Thou hast blessed us. Thou hast loaded us with benefits from on high. Lord, we thank Thee for watching over and for meeting our every need, even throughout this single day. We thank Thee, O God, for the privilege and the opportunity of being in Thy house this morning. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy presence with us, for each one that came under the sound of Thy word, and we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, O God, even for the simplicity, the clarity of the commands of God to rise up and to come away. O Father, that we will be separated unto Thee, that we will have our eyes fixed upon Christ, that we will not look to the world, but we, O God, will set our affections upon those things on high, that we will not lay up treasures on earth, but we will lay up treasures in heaven. O Father, bless us tonight, we pray Thee, even as we're found in Thy house again. We thank Thee for the opportunity, both morning and evening, that we can gather to worship. We thank Thee for this house. We thank Thee for this place, week by week, where we come together. We fellowship around the things of God. We thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy precious word. We thank Thee for having the book in our tongue, that we can read it. That we can, O God, by Thy Spirit even understand it. And Father, that we will once again read it tonight and we will have that application, that message from Thee for our hearts. That we will be ministered to even through Thy Word. Lord, bless every home. Bless every individual. Lord, whatever stage of life they are, whatever their needs are, Lord, we spread it completely before Thee. We cast all of our care upon Thee because we know that Thou dost care for us. O God, that Thou dost care for this congregation. Lord, meet each one at the very point of their need. Remember those that are laid aside. Lord, remember those that can't be with us tonight. Watch over them, bless them. Encourage them in their own hearts. Lift them up, O God. Bind up the brokenhearted. And Lord, may they know the love and the comfort even of God in their lives at this time. Lord, remember the work right across this land. Oh, Father, we pray especially for the going forth of the gospel. We pray whether it be in a large congregation or even between the twos and the threes or even a single conversation one-on-one with an individual. Oh, Father, that Thou wilt bless, that Thou wilt speak. Oh, God, that hearts will be opened, that souls will be saved, that backsliders will be restored. That Thy work will go forward, that the church of Jesus Christ will be built, even in our land once again, that we will know the outpouring of God, the Holy Spirit. That we will know that the Lord is here. That we will know the fear of God even descend upon our land. That man will not fly in the face of God. But man will acknowledge that there is a God with whom they have to do. And they will turn from their wicked sins. They will repent and believe the gospel. They will turn away from the things and the lusts of the world. And they will come and prepare to meet their God. Oh, Father, do it again in this land, we pray thee. Lord, this is a land that has been blessed much in the past. We acknowledge this. We thank thee for the faithfulness of God and the mercy of God in this land. But oh, that thou wouldst do it once again. And that thou wilt move in mighty power. That thou wilt raise that standard. Oh, Father, bless the cause of the gospel. Lord, be with us tonight and bless us in every aspect of this meeting. Pour out thy Spirit and fill this house with thy presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hymn number 70 is found in the page 203, the hymn number 70, Immortal Honours. Rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion, and my living bread. The hymn number 70, again, we'll stand as we sing, please. I'm going to read the passage that's found at the very end of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31. Said this evening, we plan to speak on the topic of a godly mother. And we come to this passage this evening, Proverbs 31. And we're going to take the time to read the entire chapter together. Proverbs 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What my son and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word publicly to each and indeed to every heart this evening. We're going to sing the hymn together, 747. 747 to page 475. O give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide. And as we sing this hymn, we'll remain seated for the first part as our tithes and offerings are lifted, please. Let's stand for the remainder of the hymn, please. Amen. Let's have our Bibles open this evening in Proverbs 31. I'm going to look at most of this chapter together this evening under the heading, The Blessings of a Godly Mother. The Blessings of a Godly Mother. Verse 28, it just simply says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Let's just still ourselves again in God's presence. Ask the Lord to speak. Maybe you think there's nothing in this message for you if you're not a mother. Well, I trust it'll be a challenge even to each one of us. Now, we examine our lives and we seek even to live in accordance with the Word of God. Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. Lord, we thank Thee for that hymn that we've just been singing. Oh God, that all of our homes would be such. Homes where the Bible is opened. Homes where prayer is made publicly and audibly, even within those homes. Homes where praise are rendered. Homes where the Lord is in control. The Lord is ahead. Homes where the Lord is welcome. Oh, Father, we pray that Thou wilt write Thy Word even upon our hearts now as we come around it. That Thou wilt speak to us, O God. We thank Thee for the mothers, even in our congregation. We thank Thee, O God, for our mothers in general, Lord. And for the blessings that Thou has even given to us in them. And we pray that Thou wilt bless the mothers of this congregation, those that are saved, that Thou wilt, Lord, continue to use them, even in their homes. Even though children may be growing up, oh God, that those mothers will yet be a blessing and be a vessel of honor even in the Lord's hands. Lord, write Thy Word upon our hearts even now. Speak to us. Oh God, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Henry J. Hines, who was the wealthy founder and distributor of Hines 57 varieties of Clorsing, including Hines Baked Beans. After he died, there was a reading of his will. And within his will, there was this following confession. He wrote this, and he said before his death, I am looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end. I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I also desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there were unusual joys and sorrows, I have been wonderfully sustained by my faith in God through Jesus Christ. This legacy was left me by my consecrated mother. a woman of strong faith, and to it I attribute any success that I have attained. It certainly is a privilege to have a mother. And I'm not just saying that because she's here. Or to have those precious memories of a mother in the life and a mother's influence. But it is an immeasurable blessing to have a godly mother. Mothers, let me encourage you, each one tonight that is a mother, don't simply aim to be loving and caring. Strive to be godly. Strive to be godly for your children. Strive to be godly for yourself. Strive to be godly for your husband. Strive to be godly, even though it may be the case your children are now grown up and have left the home, still strive to be godly. Still strive to be that godly influence. When you come to Proverbs 31, you're coming to a chapter which teaches much of what a mother and indeed a wife is to be. The role of a mother, let me just say, is not something to be looked down upon. The role of a mother is not a lesser role. Modern society would teach that a woman is only good if she is in the place of business. If she rises through the ranks and she's holding office or she's now in charge in her business or in her bank or whatever the case, if she's successful outside of the home, then a mother or then a woman has made it. And they'll look down and they'll say as if children somehow are restraining a woman from reaching all that she can be. The greatest blessing a mother or a lady can ever have is being a mother to children and being a godly one. Indeed, if society put more emphasis on parents and on families, then society would be in a lot better of a position. If the family home is right, if parents are being what they ought to be in accordance with God's word, then society would be a lot better. If parents brought up their children, didn't leave them to the world to bring up. A godly mother is vital to a godly home. What are the benefits and the blessings of having a godly mother or of being a godly mother? Well, I only have 7 points. And I only have half an hour to get through my 7 points to get on the road. But I want to leave them with you even from this passage this evening. Firstly, her godly counsel. Or godly counsel. Verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Verse 26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. There's a wonderful picture here right at the outset of this chapter. King Lemuel is only mentioned in this one chapter, in these two verses, in verse 1 and then again in verse 4. Some believe it's talking about Solomon. It's another name for Solomon, but we cannot say that for certain. And so we leave him as Lemuel. And Lemuel is introduced to us here, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What a picture of a queen teaching a prince. Not simply leaving the prince to be taught by all of the courtiers and by the different tutors that would be coming into a palace, but the queen herself teaches her prince. The queen herself drew alongside her son and taught him what he needed to know. She prepared her son, who would one day become king. And what I believe she taught him was the most important lessons that need to be taught today. She taught him from the Word of God. She taught him what sin was. And she taught him what salvation was. She taught him the gospel. She spent time administering even that message to her child as he was brought up and as he grew up and as he came to the age of understanding. She brought it at a simplicity level. And then as he grew stronger and he grew wiser and his intelligence grew, then she brought that message to him in greater depth and greater understanding. You go down through these verses and she's cautioning him. She's warning him against the sin and the evils of drink. She's warning him to abstain, to stay away from such things. She's warning him to stay and to stick to the word of God and to that which God has instructed. She taught him the gospel. She taught him grace of God. She taught him all that was necessary not only to live in this earth, but also to inherit eternal life. Proverbs 1 to verse 8, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother." You know, the biblical teaching of the child, let me just emphasize this, the biblical teaching of your children is not just the responsibility of the preacher. Yes, God has commissioned that every preacher not only feeds the lambs, the little ones in the flock, but also feeds the sheep. But it is not just solely the responsibility of the preacher to teach your children the gospel. And it is not just the responsibility of the Sunday school teachers or the children's work. It is not simply that you'll say, well, whenever they get to church and whenever they go to the various meetings, then now there they will learn of the stories of the Bible. There they will learn of the cross. There they will learn of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the role of every mother and of every father. The Bible in the church is not there to replace the Bible at home. Counsel must be given to your children. And a godly mother will counsel and teach her children the things of God. But you know, I see in these verses there is a unique way in which a mother does it. Of course, mothers and fathers have different ways, different methods whenever they're seeking to teach their children. Sometimes it's good cop, bad cop. Sometimes it's just the mother has a knack and a way of saying things that the father doesn't. But whenever you come to verse 26, it says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness." You see, that verse is showing that the mother does not always speak. That's showing that the mother, there are times when the mother is silent, but there are times when she speaks. And what comes forth to her children in those moments when she speaks? According to the scriptures, they are words of wisdom. They're wise words. They're words which children need to listen to. Even the manner in which she brings forth her counsel and her advice is with the mother's love and compassion. Because it says, verse 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness." Mothers remember and mothers know a way to say certain things, and they bring it with that motherly tenderness, that motherly kindness, and they bring it that they speak to them and they show the love and the compassion. Mothers, remember this as long as you have children. Part of your role as a mother is to give wise counsel to your children. Not just to leave them to their own devices. Not just to say, well, you decide what way you want to go. The foundation of a child and their understanding is built around what the mother teaches them. Let me say to the children, to the young people, ever heed the counsel of a godly mother. Young people, never think your mothers and indeed your fathers are out of touch or out of date. If they're godly and they're bringing to you the Word of God is never out of date. The Word of God is bang up to date. And too often children will think, well, mom and dad, just they're behind the times. They're a little bit ancient. They're not in modern times. They're not in the modern ways. They're not out in the world like we are. They don't see everything that we see. They don't have to experience everything or deal with everything like we do. Why would we listen to mom and dad? Because mom and dad, and especially mothers, are told here and are shown, have wise counsel. Because if a mother is a godly mother, it means they know the book. words of wisdom. Psalm 37, verse 30, it says, "The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom." If a mother is saved and she's walking with the Lord, those counsel, those words that she gives to you are wise words. She has godly counsel. Secondly, the verses 10 to 12, the blessing of her godly character. Her godly character. Verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Verse 12 says, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Wisdom is more important than wealth. Character is more important than jewels. That's what it's saying in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. You think, and if you remember from our studies in the book of Ruth, Ruth was known in Bethlehem for her virtue. Her virtue was on the same level as Boaz's wealth. As wealthy as Boaz was, Ruth was virtuous. Godly character in a mother, that is something that is spoken of both in the Old and the New Testament. 1 Peter 3, the verses 1 to 6, will speak of how the mother, the wife, will conduct herself and the character that she ought to have. You see, not only will a godly mother give godly counsel, but she will have godly character. In other words, not only about what she says, but it's how she acts, it's how she lives, it's how she behaves even in the home, it's how she conducts herself amongst her and around her children, it's how she shows forth the example of godliness. A godly mother will be a woman of prayer. The greatest act that a mother never do for their child is to pray for them and to continuously pray for them, to pray with them and to pray for them. Children in a Christian home ought to know what it is to hear their mother pray. They ought to know what it is. You hear their mother cry unto the Lord for them. They ought to experience a praying mother. That if anyone's to ask them, "Have you ever heard your mother pray?" they can say, "Yes. Mom mentions me by name." You know, the greatest example of a godly mother in Scripture, my opinion, is Hannah. Hannah's known for being a praying woman. Before she even had a child, she prayed. After she had a child, she still prayed. Her greatest prayer is mentioned in 1 Samuel chapter 2. It's just after she has given Samuel, her child, over onto the temple and over onto Eli. She's handed him over. She's gave her son to the work of the Lord. And then 1 Samuel 2 takes place where she brings forth her prayer. She was a woman of prayer for her children. She was one who knew what it was to get before the Lord and to bring her children before the Lord. Verse 11 says those words, "The heart of the husband doth safely trust in her." We all know C.H. Spurgeon. Very few of us know C.H. Spurgeon's father. C.H. Spurgeon's father was a very busy man. He was away a lot trying to build up congregations. Of course, in those days, there wasn't cars. Journeys took an awful long time. Many nights, many evenings, he would be away from home. On one occasion, his schedule was getting so busy, conviction hit him. He was neglecting his children. He was neglecting the religious training of his children. So he considered, "Well, I'm going to cut back my work. I'm not going to be involved in setting up of the churches and strengthening the churches." And he went home that evening and he entered into his house. no one was downstairs, he climbed the stairs, and as he went up, he heard a voice. He realized it was his wife praying. He went to the room where she was praying, and he opened the door just a little bit, and he looked through. And there was Mrs. Spurgeon with all of the children gathered around her, and she's crying unto the Lord for each one of them. She's bringing their needs, her concerns for them. She's bringing them, naming them before the Lord. When she finished praying, Mr. Spurgeon, he says, "I will carry on with my work for the Lord, for I know my children are well cared for." Godly character in mothers isn't just about what you say to the children. It's how you are as a person. The greatest blessing, the greatest character that you can ever show to your children is the fact that you pray. And that they hear you praying. And they see how special prayer is in your life. How much emphasis you put upon prayer. How much you realize that as a mother, as a parent, you cannot do anything for them without first leaving them with the Lord. There's godly character. But then thirdly, I see godly commitment. Verses 13 right down to 22. Rhymes off verse after verse about how hard working the mother is. Godly mother is not a lazy woman. She's one who's sacrificial with her time and her energy. Whatever's needed for the children, more than likely it will be the mother that does it or provides it. Whether that be food on the table, whether that be the clean clothes for the children to wear, whether that be all of the extras that are needed. Need this for school? Go to mom. Need this ready? Go to mom. Moms just seem to be, as it were, that magnet that everything goes to the mother. Moms work hard at home. We see in these verses that the mother is not only willing to work hard at home, but she works hard outside of the home. Verse 16, she planteth a vineyard. She's willing to give of herself to ensure the family's needs are met. She doesn't hold anything back. Verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength, strengtheneth her arms. Whatever's needed, the mother, as it were, just rolls up the sleeves and says, right. You get the impression this woman has a to-do list. Every night before she goes to bed, she just knows, well, this is all I have to do tomorrow. It's just A, B, C, D. And so it tells us she rises up early. She gives herself to it all. Verse 14, 15, she's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night. She giveth meat to her household, a portion to her maidens. Then verse 16, we're told she goeth to the market for food. Or verse 16, she's considering the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth the vineyard. Verse 18, she's manufacturing. She perceiveth her merchandise is good. She's making items to sell. Verse 19 to 22, she's even turning her hand to making clothes for her children. Every single need that there is, the mother just supplies it all. The mother just works it all. She's committed. She just gives herself continuously. That commitment's a testimony of a godly lady. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." It's never part-time with a mother. It's continuous. We all know Martin Luther's name, great reformer. Very few know who his mother was. Marguerite Luther, often went hungry so that her child, Martin, could go to school so she could pay for his education. Father was a miner. There wasn't much money. So to ensure that the schooling took place for young Martin, she went without food. God used that in providence because if Martin hadn't have received his education, then he wouldn't have had the knowledge and the understanding and the wherewithal to be able to write all of the treatises against the Roman Catholic Church, to preach all of the sermons, and even to translate the Bible from Latin and Greek into Latin into German and Greek and Hebrew into German. The mother's commitment was used of the Lord. God blessed it that the man who would spark the Reformation got the education. You see, godly mothers are committed to their children. They never give up. They never let any of them go. Even though at times it may be difficult to be around them, even though at times the children, you despair with them and you wonder where are they going or where will they end up, yet the mother never gives up. She's committed to them right to the very end. Godly commitment. Fourthly, her godly compassion. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. No, the love and the kindness of a godly mother isn't restricted to her own family. She reaches out further. Those that are needy, she's there for them. That doesn't mean she's constantly dipping into the pocket and handing out the money. It means she's willing to show kindness. She's willing to show compassion. Whatever the need is, she's willing to go and to help and to care. See, that kindness, that compassion, something that's very pleasing unto the Lord. Hebrews 13, verse 16, it says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Showing forth the heart of Christ is something that women do and mothers do, even in their dealings with individuals. You look again at verse 20, it says, "She stretcheth her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy." That's plural. In other words, a godly mother doesn't hold anything back. A godly woman isn't one to restrict or to restrain or to withhold anything. She hands out with both hands. She reaches out. She extends. There's nothing being held back. There's nothing being kept. She is liberal and large with her giving. She reaches out. She'll give her time, her company, her counsel. Maybe even those thankless tasks. Things that nobody sees. Nobody else is interested in. Often it is the case that out of the father and the mother is the more compassionate. The softer heart, the tenderness. It's found in the mother. Godly compassion. Fifthly, the verse 25, the godly confidence. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. So often a child can be concerned and nervous. Nervous about change in their lives. Maybe starting school for the first time. Nervous about going in. Nervous about being separated from mum and dad. I have a confession to make. I was very nervous. I never made it to nursery. I did one day. I couldn't leave my mummy. So I never went to nursery. So many children are concerned, and there's concerns as they grow up. concerned about moving from one school to another, concerned about what's going to happen. Mom, when I move school, you know, what's it going to be? How am I going to get on? Mom, as I move, I'm leaving school, what should I do? I'm nervous about what choices I'm about to make. Where will I end up? Should I go to university or what job should I do? And there's all of these concerns, there's all of these apprehensions. And yet we read in that verse 25, she shall rejoice in time to come. Strength and honor are her clothing. You know, when it speaks in Scripture of clothing like this, what that means is permanency. Strength and honor are always with the mother. Those characteristics are permanent in a godly mother. They're clothed upon her. They're never taken off. They're never set aside. You see, the godly mothers do not fear. Godly mothers have an assurance of who's in control. Years of experience behind her, she knows God's never failed her. God's never failed the home. And children can come along and all of the concerns as they go through the different stages of life. And yet the mother has that wealth of knowledge and experience. God has been there every single step of the way. Therefore, I can look to the future. I can step into the future and I can know God's still there. He's still faithful. The God of the past is the God of the present, and He's still the God of the future. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning, He's the end. And so a godly mother has joy and hope. Yes, there'll be problems, there'll be trials to face. Every family has their times of trials. Every family has their times of problems. Every family has dark providences to go through. And yet with the mother, there's that strength and honor in clothing. There's that assurance in her. There's that joy and that peace. Why? God's in control. Whatever comes, we still trust in Him. God's grace is still sufficient. God's still going to be with me and with my family. God still will perfect all that concerneth us. There's a godly confidence. But then sixthly, I see there's a godly consecration. The verse 30, it says, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You see, a godly mother fears the Lord. Everything she does, everything she says, and every single word that she speaks to her children, whether it be in counsel or whether it be in correction, she does it all with her eye and her heart towards the Lord. See, a godly mother, with her, God comes first. Even before the husband and the children, the godly mother, God comes first. She loves the Lord. And she serves the Lord. Even those mundane tasks, serving the Lord. Even washing for the 6,000,000th time, getting the clothes ready for the 6,000,000th time of having them ready. She's still doing it unto the Lord. Even those times when she rises up early, Mother B's making the dinner, making the lunches, making whatever it be, and it's all of those jobs that are so thankless and all of those jobs that are just, as it were, expected by the children. And yet the mother does it. Why? Because she's living and serving the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. A mother that knows the Lord, a mother who loves the Lord, is a mother that serves the Lord both in the home and in the community. The love of a mother, a godly mother, comes from her love for the Lord. That's the foundation for it. Her service for her children comes from her service to the Lord. She's consecrated to Him. You know, the Apostle Paul, he says, "For me to live is Christ." You apply that to every individual. You apply it to godly mothers. They're living for Christ. Everything they do is for Christ. And such a mother, with all of those godly gifts and talents and abilities, deserves seventhly and finally her commendation. Verse 28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her." Godly mothers are worthy of praise. Not just on Mother's Day. Israel didn't have Mother's Day. Old Testament times, there was no such thing as a Sunday set aside for Mother's Day. Every day, in a sense, was Mother's Day. Because what these verses are really saying is, this here ought to be, this praise is given whenever the children rise up and call her blessed, and the husband, he praiseth her. This is something which ought to be continuous. This is something which ought to be a regular occurrence within the homes. This is something which ought to be spontaneous. It's not a case that they were instructed, after dinner tonight you must thank your mother. No, but rather it's a continuous thing where children were blessed and were receiving so much that they in turn praised and thanked their mothers. Mother should never be taken for granted. She's not a child's servant or slave. She's a mother. The ministry of a mother is one of the most important ministries that will ever be undertaken. And so I say this as we close. Mothers, strive ever to be as godly as you can. Live Christ before your children. Make sure you're a woman of prayer. Make sure your children know you're a woman of prayer. Make sure you're a woman of the book. That you can give that godly counsel unto your children. Children, I say this. Thank God for godly mothers. Even in your own prayers, you thank the Lord if you have a mother who's saved. And thank them. Not just on Mother's Day. But you be thankful for what the Lord has blessed you with. Mothers that know the Lord, that serve the Lord. The children shall rise up and call them blessed. The husband also shall praise. The Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. We do thank Thee, O God, for godly mothers. We thank Thee for praying mothers. We thank Thee for those, O God, who have given their lives to the Lord and who love Him. And serve Him even in the home place. And Father, we pray for the mothers, even in our congregation, the mothers in our lives. Lord, that Thou wilt bless them. Help them to live for Thee. Help them, O God, to bring up their children. Even in that fear and that admonition of the Lord. And Father, we pray for the children. O God, that they will see the love of Christ even in their mothers. And their fathers. They will see lives that are surrendered unto Christ. And those lives will be testimonies in themselves to the children. And O Father, that Thou wilt bless our homes. O God, that thou wilt save those in the homes that are still not saved. Lord, even as the mothers, the fathers continue to pray for them, oh God, that children will be saved, that families will be united in Christ. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.